Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans, and starring John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips, and Stephen Murray. We all know when we've done it once too often. There's the time when you wake up the following morning and you know you should have refused that last brown ale because your wristwatch sounds like Big Ben. Or when you get home from work and your wife sits you in front of the fire, hands you your pipe, puts on your slippers, and tells you she's prepared a special meal for your guess what. And you have guess what, you remember it's your anniversary, you haven't got her anything, and the shops are shut. In the Navy, you never have to guess what. You're very quickly told when you're in the...
Oh, nasty.
Exactly. And that applies directly to you, Mr. Phillips, and the rest of the crew of HMS Troutbridge.
Oh, lummy. You don't mean Captain Purvis found out about my minute, hardly worth talking about, tiny little accident when we docked last night?
Not yet, but he's about to. In fact, the report is the first thing he's going to read when he arrives in his office this morning.
I don't believe it. How can one frigate hit a dockyard train, a tugboat, a 40-foot crane, two warehouses, and would you believe it, a pillar box?
Well, don't forget, Captain Purvis, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips was trying to park in the dark, and he's frightened of it.
But even with him, how could one ship hit so many things?
Well, I expect the battery from his personally autographed Tiny Tim torch ran off.
I'm putting in a report in detail for the Ministry of Defense. I'm putting a stop to their nonsense once and for all. Their lordships will thank me in the end. I'll get a medal for it. I might even get knighted.
Get whatted?
Knighted. Think of it. Sir Henry Povey, Captain, RN.
Bart.
That will do. Now get your notebook, Brent Chasen. I intend to start my report on that mob aboard Troutbridge immediately.
Oh, there you are, Chief. Any ideas why Commander Murray wants to see us up here on the quarter deck?
No, Mr. Phillips. I was hoping you had. Whatever it is, I hope it won't take too long. Pertwee's bulwarks are nearly frozen to the bulkheads.
Frozen to the what heads?
Bulkheads. Yeah, but I suppose in your case, this is no time to turn professional. So for your benefit, Mr. Phillips, sir, walls.
So that's what they're called. I must remember that.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't bother, sir.
Right, gentlemen, sorry to ask you to meet me out here on the quarterdeck, but what I have to say is extremely private. As we all know, walls have ears.
They're not walls, Commander Murray, sir. They're bulkheads.
This is no time to turn professional, Mr. Phillips. Now then, gentlemen. The gauntlet has been thrown down, and I intend to pick it up. If Captain Povey wants a fight, then he's got one. I intend to make him rue the day that he ever picked a fight with me.
Lummy, what are we going to do?
I'm not quite sure. I was hoping one of you two would come up with something.
I knew it. We're in the proverbial again.
Actually, I do have a plan.
Is it?
I know exactly how we can get our own back. Funny enough, it was all in this film I saw. It all takes place in a castle, which from now on I'll call a ship. But there are these two twin brothers, you see, Rupert and Rudolph. Was it Rudolph and Rupert? Well, anyway, there was a pair of them. And they lived in this castle, boat. It was a boat.
It was a boat.
With a castle round it, you see. It doesn't matter because, they haven't met for 20 years and... Or was it 21? Well, perhaps they did, anyway. But I'm not sure, because I missed that bit as the ice cream lady came round and she hadn't got a tub, you see. No, she only had a pair of lollies. Well, she lit them up with her torch, you see. Now, there was this horse, you see. There was this horse, for which purposes I shall call a rowing boat. Now, anyway, Rupert... Rupert and his twin brother, Rudolph, it's the other way round. They meet up in the forest, which for our purposes I shall call an ocean. Now, it's not them, because one of them has been walled up in his castle, you see. A boat is a boat with a ship round it, you see. The boat has a ship. Now then, now this... This is where it gets interesting.
About time and all.
Now, Captain Rupert Povey, or was it Henry Rudolph? He tries to wall up the other twin, you see, who's in... The other twin, he was the brother who was impersonating the other twin brother at the same time as the other twin brother was impersonating him. Of course, the other twin brother didn't know about the first twin brother, or it wouldn't have worked, you see. Now, fortunately, this time, Princess Flavia, for our purposes, we'll call the Ministry of Defense, is down in the forest, and she...
Oh, shut up!
You're absolutely right. My plan wouldn't have worked anyway.
How would you know?
Captain Povey hasn't got a twin brother.
Chief.
My pleasure, sir.
Cool. Right on the walls again.
Look, if I may have a couple of discreets in your shell-like officers and jets all assembled, it would appear to me, myself and I, had better take care of this ourselves.
What had you in mind, Chief?
Well, nothing much, sir, but just to put the boot in with the rollicking lordship so that they think that old Thunderguts has gone gaga and right round the twist.
How?
One has one's methods, sir. One has one's methods.
Ministry of Defence, sir. Lieutenant Burkitt speaking. What's the name? Tovey? Oh, Tovey. Well, old man, what's your little double fault this time? Oh, rollicking Rod Laver, old boy. You can't expect us to serve a match point on Troutbridge before we've got your report. Incidentally, make it in triplicate, old man. We don't need three, but we're liable to lose two. Just get it down on paper and whiz it over the net to us as soon as possible. Chair here.
Trouble, old Burkitt, old boy?
No, Deacon, old chap. Save the game. That twit Captain Povey at Portsmouth banged a nasty one at me down the tram lines. Oh. Luckily, I was able to smash it back to his baseline.
Lumps. Yeah, one, old Burkitt. For half a tick, I thought we'd have to cancel the court. I booked it with the park keeper from 11 o'clock to 4:30. Incidentally, what happens if that chap Povey phones back?
Not to worry. If anything important turns up, I arranged with my secretary to have all our calls put through to the park keeper's hut.
Bit of a bore, isn't it? Might interrupt the rally.
Not to worry, Ducky. We'll get them to hang on till the end of a game.
Good morning, Chief. Lovely day for getting the chop.
How right you are, as the aristocrat said to the executioner at the guillotine.
But from what I'd heard, you'd got the perfect answer to the problem. You knew how to solve it all.
Well, none of us are perfect, Renchasen. Unfortunately, that includes me. But it don't include old Thunderguts. If I don't find a chink in his amour quick, we're as good as handed in our canonical canicanacs.
Well, I only wish I could help. The only thing I can give you is a completely useless piece of information, like, farmyard impersonations.
Pardon?
Well, when he was at Dartmouth College, I did hear that he was absolutely kinky about doing his farmyard impersonations. But I don't suppose that would interest you, and if it does, I never said it.
Kinky? Kinky? How kinky?
I'm not telling you, but if you had a ship's concert, you'd probably find out. Captain Purvey will see you now.
Come in.
Chief Petty Officer Pertwee to see you, sir.
Oh, kind. Chief, come in. Oh,
most kind, sir, most kind. Now, I was thinking of having a ship's concert.
Really?
Yes, in the lieu of our sad departures.
What an original suggestion. I wonder where you get your ideas.
Oh, one is always coming out with a mission. When one has them, one likes to flash them about.
Really?
Yes. Never mind all that. Now, what is all this about a ship's concert? I think it only fair to inform you that I do simply magnificent farmyard impersonations. If it's not too late, I wonder if I may take part in the cabaret.
Yes, well, the programme is rather full, sir, but if you insist, you could close the first half with one of your assistant identifications.
No. I thought I might do some of my unbelievable farmyard impersonations.
On second thoughts, perhaps you prefer to produce pigeons out of your armholes, sir. And the flags of all nations from wherever you feel fit.
Chief, yes. I do some quite good farmyard impressions, which one or two people have recognized.
I know. How are you on clog dancing to Aquarius? If it means stripping off, sir, of course, but we'll have a couple of bars of the eater on and a bloke standing by with a blanket for the big finish. So you should be all right, sir.
Chief, what about asking him to do farmyard impersonations?
Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I was thinking of doing them myself.
Cock-a-doodle-doo! Plop.
Just a moment, sir. Just a moment, Captain Bowie. Just stay right where you are, so don't move, sir. I couldn't hear you for a moment because there's a rooster in here who's just laid an egg. Don't move your feet or you might tread on it, sir.
No, Chief, it wasn't a rooster laying an egg. It was me.
But it can't have been, sir. It can't have been. Officers of the Royal Navy don't go around laying eggs. They may drop a clangle or two, but they don't lay eggs.
No, really, Chief, it was me impersonating a rooster.
Never, sir. Never.
Don't you, but you must believe me, Chief.
No.
It was.
No.
I have a gift for it.
No, I don't believe it.
I'll do it again. Clack, 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 clack,
my word, to the left. We'll put you in the second half, sir.
Neat, Chief. Very neat.
I'll put you in after Jiggling Josephine and Crumpet Chloe, the Juggling Juggernaut.
I don't think I ought
not to. Not so worry, sir. The way they spin their plates is completely novel. You'll be in no danger of having to crunch your way through the crockery to do your cock-a-doodle-doo and your cluck-cluck.
Thank you so much, Chief. I shall be delighted to appear.
Right you are, sir. Details of performance to follow, sir. Most grateful, sir. Most grateful. See you on the night, sir.
Oh, no. I've got others, you know. Now, listen to this.
Quack, quack, quack.
Gloom. That's a duck laying an egg in mud. Now, you may have noticed that the groof was louder than the chicken's bloop because it's a bigger egg.
Oh, quite so. No. If you'll excuse me, sir.
No. As I go through the farmyard gate, I am greeted by Rover, the farmer's dog. Woof, woof, baa, baa.
Where was the plop?
That was a sheepdog, and sheepdogs don't lay eggs.
But what is this over here?
I dread to think.
It's our old friend, Mr. Porker. No, sorry. I... No... No, how does it go?
Oh, Commander Murray. I still don't see why the chief wants to meet us outside Captain Povey's office at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, how silly can you get? Captain Povey won't be there.
Mr. Phillips, that is the idea.
Now, I wonder what I'll do at the chief's farewell concert.
That's another thing, Noddy. There isn't really going to be a concert.
I think I'll do my conjuring.
Mr. Phillips, the whole thing is a figment of the chief's imagination. It's something he's dreamed up, a scheme to keep us together. There isn't going to be a concert.
Take a card.
Isn't it marvellous? Round it, through it, over it, under it, but nothing ever goes in it.
Now, don't interrupt, sir. Now, take a card.
Oh, very well. Mr. Phillips, you haven't got any.
Oh, well, I haven't learned to do the trick with real cards yet. Just pretend.
What was that?
I dread to think. But whatever it is, there are three of them at it.
Coffee, in here. I've got the
door open. Now, hurry up. Come along, Mr. Phillips. Take your imaginary cards and get into Captain Povey's office.
Blimey. Here, that was an easy door to open.
Take a card.
Pardon?
And don't tell me what it is.
It's very simple, Chief. He's rehearsing for a concert that's not going to take place with non-existent cards for a trick he doesn't know.
Yeah, but I thought he knew there wasn't. And now he's there isn't.
Don't fight this thing, Chief. His brain is smaller than both of us. Now, what is it you want us to do while you get on with whatever it is that you're going to do that I don't want to know about?
Well, keeping KV at the window is Mr. Phillips's little task, and you, sir, I would like you to stand with your elegant size 9 hoof jammed against the door.
Yeah,
Right? Now, where's Captain Povey's notepaper? We're going to need several sheets of that.
Don't
you worry, Commander Murray, sir. Once this little lot's over, in the old adage, we'll be all right, Jack.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Hey?
Your car wasn't a Jack, it was the two of hearts.
Oh, it is. Got the notepaper. Here, unfortunately, rather a lot of tempers will have to be fugitive by the time I've finished this with my typing.
Oh, I can help there. I can help there.
Is it?
I went to Mrs. Phoebe Arbuthnot's secretarial school for the Sons of Gentlemen.
My word, sir, what a rich emotional life you must have led. Win that, lose what not of what you've lived.
All right, jape if you must, but I had a speed of 160 a minute.
Yeah, come again?
160 a minute?
No.
Now, you don't believe me, do you? No. All right, then, I'll prove it. Come on, give me a letter. Take it down. Come on, give me a letter. Come on. Right, now, I'm ready. Dictate something.
By all means, sir. Dear Chief Petty Officer Pertwee, come on. We have pleasure in informing you. We are appointing you Admiral of the Fleet. As at long last, we have realized that you are the right man for the job, full stop. Yours gratefully, comma, etc., etc., etc.
There you are.
Good gracious.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, but before you commit the fox's pass of all times, allow me to read out what Mr. Phillips has typed. Letter commences. Dear sir, comma. Excuse, exclamation mark. Comma. Off, comma, 7 8, comma. RTZ bracket on, comma. 5 7 8 Q bracket off dash XXX. Last sign question mark.
Dash, 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 dash. £1, 3 shillings and 6. Semicolon. 4 shillings.
Don't bother to go on, Chief. Now we all know what Mrs. Phoebe Arbuthnot must have suffered.
Well, what's all this about him doing 160 words a minute?
I didn't say words. I do 160 letters a minute. You can't expect to make the letters into words as well.
Oh, dear.
All right, now get out of the chair, sir. Get out. I'll type it myself. Dear... Sirs. Dot, dot, dot. Bracket on.
Ministry of Defence here. Lieutenant Deacon speaking. Yes? Yes? That's right. No, I'm afraid he can't say I wait clear to do that. Priorities, you know. I'm afraid I can't tell you any more than that. Things must remain status quo. Agreed? Good man.
Trouble, old man?
Yes, could have been. It was the park keeper. He wanted to switch our booking this afternoon from number one court to number two.
Yeah, I say, that's a bit steep.
Yeah. Well, never mind then, Burkitt, old boy. Got to get down to the court. Anything in the mail?
Your little cartwallop, which I've wanged out of court into the waste paper bag. But there is something odd going on.
Nothing liable to go to deuce, I hope.
Could be. Looks like Captain Povey's gone van out of his volley box. Oh. We've had 5 letters from him this morning. Listen to this one. Dear sirs, cock-a-doodle-doo, cluck-cluck. I shall shortly be sending you a report, bang-bang, about the bee buzz behavior of the cock-a-doodle-doo crew of HMS Troutbridge, suggesting they should be disbanded rum-tum-tiddle-tum dead at your convenience. Ker-choik-swoosh. Your obedient servant, Bong, dinner is served. Henry Povey, Captain R. Hen. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Sounds as if he's got a string loose.
I should say he has. Yes. The other 4 are exactly the same. Anyway, I've dealt with the matter. I'm bunging them all into an envelope yes. and sending them straight back to his admiral. Chap obviously needs leave. Let him deal with it.
Captain Povey, what is it, Renchason?
During the last few days, my typewriter seems to have started to disintegrate.
Disintegrate?
Yes, sir. I can't think why, but some of the keys don't work, the ribbons twisted, and the bell won't ting.
Very well. Who better indent for another one?
Aye, sir. And the sooner the better, sir, before the carriage shoots straight off the end. Too late it has.
Morning, Heather. We're here.
Hello, Heather. Take a card.
I haven't time, and Captain Povey's waiting to see you now.
Well, never mind. It would have been a two of hearts anyway.
Ah, good morning, gentlemen.
Or perhaps I should say goodbye.
After that, I don't know if I'm going to ask him to take a card.
Oh, well, be a sport, sir. Otherwise, Captain Povey won't do his goat work on an egg bit for us.
Oh, never mind all that. In any case, I've been rehearsing in front of a mirror, and I'm cock-a-doodle-doo, cluck, 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 clop, perfect.
Stand by your desks. Admiral approaching, immaculately turned out. Every inch a sailor, credit to the fleet. Heads up everywhere. Eyes in line with the door. Thumbs in line with the seams of your...
Bags!
Sir!
Shut your cackling cake hole. They're coming into an office and not reviewing the blasted fleet. Now then, Povey, what's all this I hear from the Ministry of Defence about you going cuckoo?
Oh, no. I don't go cuckoo. I just tuck my elbows into my side and flap my arms up and down like this, and then I throw back my head and I go, cuck-a-doodle-doo! I cluck-cluck-cluck-cluck-cluck-cluck-cluck. Plop. And then I go, quack, 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 quack.
Oh, glump. That's a duck laying an egg in muck.
Now, you may have noticed that the glump was louder than the chicken's plop. Now, that's because it was a bigger egg.
shades of Nelson's knickers. Once the Ministry of Defence were right, Clovey, you're on 14 days sick leave as from now. Off you go, the best of British cluck-cluck.
But you don't understand, sir. I've got this report for
yes,
you.
Yes, I've heard it. Bang, bang. Off you go. Flutter off.
Pertwee, you've excelled yourself.
One does one's best, sir.
Whilst we're on the subject, Admiral, would you care to take a card?
Not likely. Whenever I do, it's always the blasted Two of Hearts. Flags, they're open and it's your turn to play. Lead on.
John Pertwee, Leslie Phillips and Stephen Murray have been demonstrating the art of personal survival in The Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. John Pertwee was the chief petty officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the CO, Captain Pervy was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chase, and Lieutenant Burkey was Michael Bates, and the Admiral was Tenniel Evans. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.